now we bring to our microphones Rob Congdon. He's our man as we continue to focus on the European Union. We focus on the Middle East. We focus on the world with Bob McGinnis. And with Rob Congdon, it's always looking at the European Union. Rob, I have in my hand your book. We're going to talk about it a few moments from now, The European Union and the Supra-Religion, subtitle Setting the Stage for the Final Act. You can get it at our website, prophecytoday.com, and in Christian bookstores across America, but we'd love for you to order it from us. Rob, let's get right to conversation. I spoke to Bob McGinnis a moment ago about the Sunday Turkish elections. What effect, if any, will the results of the Turkish elections have on the petition by Turkey to become a member state of the European Union?
Well, the elections are very important because if the parliament gets a greater majority for the AK party, that's the current leader, Erdogan, it would be more supportive of being part of the EU and would continue the reforms in Turkey that are necessary if it's going to become a European Union nation. So an increase in the AK party majority would give them a better position toward satisfying needs for the European Union. If they lose significantly, they won't lose power, but if they lose seats in the parliament, it will be a greater and more uphill battle for them to enter the EU.
Yeah, are some of the EU member states still opposing the entrance of Turkey, the first Islamic state, as a member state in the European Union?
Yes, they are, and probably the two biggest forces. One is the German Chancellor Merkel, who's very influential in the EU. She's hesitant because they're fearing the unskilled Turkish labor flooding the market in Germany and France. And in France, Sarkozy, who is certainly more positive to the U.S., is further against Turkey, largely because of Cypriot problems that have go way back historically between Turkey and Cyprus, and in reality, Greece.
Rob, Tony Blair met with the members of the European Union and the quartet as he related to his new role as the Middle East peace envoy for the quartet. He has a tough task ahead of him in the Middle East. Did he get definite backing from the European Union and the quartet to go do this job?
Yeah, they're very much behind him. It certainly raises their profile, the European Union's profile, by having him in this unique position. And in some ways, even though the U.S. is a prime partner in the quartet, along with the U.N. and the European Union and Russia, it tends to put Europe more in favor. I mean, you have the European Union as member of the quartet, and you have this spokesman now being British. So they're all very happy at that, and they're really watching what can really be done, particularly in the autumn when they're going to try to form a conference.
Rob, I don't know if you caught this or not. Interestingly, Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of State, seemed to put Blair in his place when she said that Blair will assist in this fall conference you just mentioned, but the U.S. is going to lead the International Peace Conference that George Bush has called for. Quite interesting.
Yes, what she's trying to say is the U.S. is still leading it. And, of course, I think behind that is her fear that the European Union and Tony Blair will take the show and run with it.
Well, we're going to keep our focus on what's happening there. And, of course, everybody thinking that this is just the next step for Tony Blair before he becomes the permanent president of the European Union. Well, the Pope in the European Union declared this week, Rob, that the Catholic Church was the official, and I think he also said, the only representative of Christ here on earth. How does that play in the European Union?
Well, it's interesting. What it's really reflecting is three different groups, if you will, within the Roman Catholic Church. And understanding those three groups explain it. The first group believes, let's just solve things pragmatically and let's make us still a power in Europe and the European Union. That group, interestingly, is starting to ally with Islam. And in France, there are already some preliminary steps toward not a formal union, but let's work together so we can maintain our power. That's the first group. It's for pragmatic. They're trying to solve it immediately. A second group is really worried that Europe is so lacking in spirituality that what they're fighting for is in the new constitution or draft, let's call it, they need an Article 52, which helps reinstate and gives the influence of spirituality in Europe. So that group's fighting. The third group says, look, we're only going to win on a philosophical basis, and that's by going to our roots and the basic math and the old teaching of the church. And that's where the Pope is today. He's in this group, and he thinks the ultimate way to win in Europe is to go back to the ancient worship, which, interestingly, is fitting with an emergent church movement that's also starting to appear in Europe, which would be going the same way. So you have these three groups kind of fighting, if you will. The one is going to actually help Islam. The other group is going to work on the European Union's new constitution and want that. And then you have the Pope representing the third group. In the end, biblically, we would see the European Union uniting with a group or a supra-religion, as I'm calling it, in which Roman Catholicism will decline but still be an influence, but will help work with Islam and bring all religions together, including Hinduism.
Rob Congdon keeps us abreast of how these things are developing in the European Union. That's a subject we're going to have another conversation about in the future, Rob. One final question. Your book, and I've just enjoyed reading through it. I want people to think about getting a copy of it, The European Union and the Supra-Religion, which is what we're talking about, setting the stage for the final act. A quick answer, because we're running out of time here. You bring to our attention the UN Declaration of a Jewish State in 1948 and the European Union, a connection. Speak to us about that.
Well, within 5 days of each other, both were formed. The UN Declaration established Israel, and as we always say, the prophetic clock began at that point again. But the European Union, through the Council of Europe, a predecessor, was formed 5 days in May, 5 days from the formation of Israel. So the two are really working on parallel paths to fulfill the scriptures. And if you trace their history, they both came into birth basically the same time. The events today are showing both of them as strong powers and certainly biblically related in terms of what's coming, as we would read in Revelation 17.
Rob, let me ask you a philosophical question. Human government established by God, Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, human government does play a role in the end time scenario that can be found in Bible prophecy, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and part of our book is to show how God is going to allow this final worldwide government to actually set the stage for him to be revealed in his coming back and to also turn the nation of Israel back to him and to recognize him as the Messiah.
The book is entitled The European Union and the Supra-Religion, subtitled Setting the Stage for the Final Act, A Biblical Perspective. It's by Robert R. Congdon. If you go into the bookstore, and you'll be able to see Rob on the back, sharp little hat you have there sitting out. Looks like you're in Maine someplace where I am today.
Well, but that's in Scotland, actually.
Oh, in Scotland. I say then, oh, dear brother. Well, it's good to have a conversation with you, Rob. And you want to get this book, go to our website, prophecytoday.com. It's in our shopping mall. That's prophecytoday.com. Rob, thank you so very much for your contribution to the broadcast. It's a joy, and we look forward every week to having a conversation with you. We'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it. Lord bless.